Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Tashi, the ninth chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Bikurim, the laws of the first fruits in the Sefer Zeruim, which in this Perek, the Rambam continues with other of the Matanos Kehunah, specifically the Matanos that come from all animals that are slaughtered. As Rambam gives Halacha Aleph, the obligation of giving these gifts. So Mitzvah Saseh is a positive commandment, leading to give, called Zevech Behemet Tahir, whoever slaughters a kosher animal, to give Lakoyin to the Kohen the following three gifts: Hazraya, the foreleg; Balchayim, the jaw; Vakev, the maw, which is one of the stomachs of the ruminant of the kosher animal. Shem, like it says in the pasuk in Devarim, this should be the law of the kahanim. The elohim and the krim chamakam. This is what's called in old places matanis, gifts, because the pasuk used the terminology v'nasan lakoyin hazraya hazraya balchayim vakev. There, these are the gifts. Now, mitzvah in the Hegis Tamet, this mitzvah is constantly applicable. Whether it, when the Beis Hamikdash was around, whether the Beis Hamikdash was not around, in all places, whether in Eretz Yisrael, whether out of Eretz Yisrael, now it's regarding a regular unconsecrated animal, but does not apply to a carbon, to a sanctified animal. Halacha Beis Ram qualifies because it's different halacha regarding a kachim animal. Kol HaKadoshim, anything that was sanctified, Shekadem mum kavoya lehekdesham. Now, if it had a permanent blemish before he was sanctified, so it never really had a physical sanctity, only had a monetary sanctity, and then the niftu is redeemed, sechayav b'matanis. So then it's obligated in these three gifts, because since it never had more than the monetary sanctity, and it was redeemed, so now it's like a regular chulin thing, because you're allowed to go ahead and shear the wool, and you're allowed to go ahead and work with it, so it's like regular chulin. Now, vimkadim mum oivah lekdeshim, but let's say it only had a passing blemish before it was sanctified, where there actually it's forbidden to shear the wool and to work it even after it's redeemed. Oishikdeshim tamim, or let's say it was sanctified when it was unblemished. Vachkach no memum, and only when it was kachim, it developed a blemish, so it had a physical sanctity. Viniftu, and then it's redeemed because it developed a blemish. Hare elu betum and abatanis, these, however, are exempt from the kahana gifts of the zeroy lechem and kevah, because since they have a severe sanctity, even after it's redeemed, it still has isra giza v'avoidim, hence it's going to be exempt from this halacha, which only applies to that of chum. Halacha gimel now, safik b'chayr. If you have an animal that's it's a doubt if it's considered, if it is a firstborn animal or not, so chayiv b'matanis b'kol tzad. So either way you can look at it, you can have to give at least these three gifts of the animal, of this doubtful bechor, because shein bechor, because if it's the firstborn animal, kul lekoyin, all of it's supposed to be given to the kohen. The main bechor, and if it's not the firstborn animal, at least matnayis of lekoyin. So then, it's a regular chulin animal, then at least those three gifts have to be given to the kohen. Now, v'im nistapik b'shnayim. Let's say the doubt is regarding two, meaning, for example, let's say the animal gave birth to two males, where it's not possible that one of them wasn't first. Now, but since you don't know which one came out first, so the kohen, he's going to take the lesser, the more inferior of the two, and the second one will be a doubt if it's bechor. So the kohen takes one of the animals as a doubt, as which, you know, because at least one of them is the bechor. So the second one will be exempt from the gifts of the Israel Chaim Mekev. And the reason is because asu, they make it kemisha zacha by kohen, as if the kohen merited, and that he gives it because in its state that it's blemished to the owner. And that is, since the kohen already took one of them out of doubt, so the second one is like the exchange of the first one. Meaning, here there's only one. You don't have a mamon of shach over here. It's all, if it's not a firstborn animal, then it's matans go to the kohen. But regarding the second way, that if it's a bechor, it's going to go totally to the kohen. It's not true because he already sold it to the Yisrael in exchange for the other one. So therefore, actually, the other one, although he'll get one totally as the bechor, the other one will not give matnayis of the kohen. Now, I will say ha-meisrim. But regarding if there's a doubt if something is a ma'isa behemah, if it's the tenth one of the flock, which has halacha, that actually it all belongs to the owner, it doesn't go to the kohen, then that safik ma'isa patur mikol makom will actually be totally exempt, whether it's in the case of when you're a doubt of two animals or even in one animal. And the reason is, because someone wants to extract to take out money from his friend, it's coming upon him the onus of the proof, and if he cannot to definitively obligate him, because if it is meiser, it's totally for the owners. It's only for chulin. If it's not meiser behemah, then you have to give Israel lechem mekeva. So since it has the sanctity of meiser behemah, which that goes to the owner, therefore the doubt is incumbent upon the kohen to prove which it cannot, and therefore the Yisrael gets to keep it without giving the matanis. Halacha dal, now behemah kadoshim, regarding an animal of kadoshim shenisla b'muma, which became invalidated because of its blemish. In other words, it developed a blemish after it was sanctified. And as we said in Halacha Beis, therefore it's kachim and it's not obligated in these matanis. Now, let's say that animal got mixed in with other animals. Even one in a hundred. At a time when each of those animals belongs to a different person. So, they're all going to be exempt. Because the kohen cannot come, as we said by Bukhar, for let's call him man of shach, because it's not true. The kohen has no rights in the animal, even though it's one in a hundred, that's kachim. And shekol echad ve'echad safik. So each one of them is a doubt. Is mine the one that he has rights to or not? And if the kohen wants to collect, he has to prove that mine is not the one that's kachim. Now, let's say haya echad ha'shecher eskom, but let's say it was one person that was slaughtering them all, then pait the matnas achas men bovad, then it only exempts the gifts of one of them, because one of them is kachim, and that's going to be potter, but all the rest will be obligated in the zroyed l'chaim and the keva. Now, l'chaim, the Rambam qualifies the type of animal and the objective of the shechita to obligate it in these matanis. So in chayv matanis, there's no obligation of these three gifts, ela behema tahira bovad. It has to be a domesticated, kosher animal. Shemek says in the pasuk, im shurim se, it's an ox or a sheep, which is a behema and it's tahira, kosher. Now, kalayim haba mekeves ve'ez, if it's a mixed breed that comes from a lamb and a goat, so chayv b'matanis, that's still going to be obligated in the kana gifts, because it says im shur, the word im comes to include kalayim. Now, v'hakoi, which is a creature that's doubtful if it's a chaya or behema, it's avpish v'safik, although it's doubt, mefrishim min kol matanis, you have to separate all the matanis. A tzvi, a deer, which is a chaya tahira, Habala is that cohabits with a goat, which is a behemoth tahira, the other and they have a child. Havalat chayev b'chatzim atanis. The child is going to be obligated in half of the gifts. Now, what's interesting about this is there's a doubt if we are apply the patrilineal descent, that of the seed of the father. If that would be the case, the child would be a type of a chayi, which is part of a matanis, called a behema. Or are we only concerned for the zer ha'im, matrilineal, which the mother is a behema, would be chayi b'matanis. So in this case, there would be an obligation of half the matanis, because it says in the pasuk, im se. If it's a se, which the im is including a filamikta se, even if it's partially a se, which in this case, the mother is a'ez, which is including the family of se, although it's only halfway a behema, that would obligate it half of the matanis. But the other way around, tayish, a he-goat, habalat tzviya, which cohabits with a she-deer, which this time the mother is the chai, and the father is the behema, havalat patam matanis. In this case, the child's going to be exempt from the kohanic gifts, because since, like we said, we're not sure if we consider the zer hav or not, and could be we're not, and then the child's going to be totally a chai like the mother, and therefore then there's an exemption from matanis, because like we say, matzmech v'lavaraya, we don't know if we chayshin lezer hav, and the kohen would have to prove that, which we don't know, and therefore, it doesn't have to give any matanas. Halach above, echad hashech lechilis adam, whether the slaughtering is for the human consumption, or lechilis goyim for Gentile consumption, or lechilis klavim or for a canine, a dog consumption, or lerefuah or for medicinal purposes, doesn't make a difference. Chayv matanas, all these cases will be obligated in the kohanic gifts. Halach hazayin, behemes shudfin, an animal owned by partners, also chayv shnei mekan, says in the pasuk, zoifche hazevech, those who slaughter the zevech, which says in the plural, and that also would include the Hazrael Chaim HaKeva that were given to the Kohen. Alok HaChas, HaLikech Behemah. Some purchases an animal, and he purchased Mipere Shvias, which is the produce of Shemitah, which was the funds of that produce was used to purchase an animal. Chai B'matanis is still going to obligate the one who slaughters that animal in the Kohanic gifts, because in contrast, regarding a firstborn animal would be exempt of the matanis, because if you would obligate matanis, it would come out that you actually would be gaining from the firstborn, which now you're exempt from getting rid of it. But here, where it's chulin, and it's going to have the halach of beer, so you're not really gaining with perishes, which you're not allowed to, so therefore, that's not a problem. You could purchase, and you're going to be chayv the matanis. Now, the Rambam continues regarding ownership of the animal and regarding partnership. So Kahan Levim, they're Peturim min Abatanis. Because number Pasuk says, Me'esam, from the people is where you have to have Zroel Chem Keva. Now, the Savik Hema Levim, Im Hemachal Am Olav. And the Levim, we're not sure if that's, are they included in the Am. The Fikich Inuit Lem, therefore you don't take from Levim. If not Lakan, the Kohen does take Liach, so he doesn't have to give it back. Again, because the Savik will be either way, whoever's in possession of it, the other one who wants to take it away from him would have to prove. Now, Alacha Tez B'Midmim, when do we say this Alacha, the Kahanim, maybe doubtfully, become definitively our exempt from Atanis? In other words, if he's slaughtering his own animal, But if he's slaughtering for himself a Jew's animal, a Yisrael meaning, it obviously would be Chayv Matanis because it's a behemoth Yisrael. We're talking about it's his own and he's slaughtering for himself. But let's say you have a Kohen who is a slaughterer, who he's a butcher and he slaughters and to sell in the marketplace, then Mamtin Lishnaim Shalosh Shabbos. So we wait 2-3 weeks. And Mekam Elech, if he's still selling in the marketplace, Mitzin Memen Matanis, then we collect from him those gifts. And we give it to other Kahanim because since he's selling it in the marketplace, it's like that of a regular Yisrael for the halachas of matanis. Now, but if he opens up a butcher shop to sell, then we don't wait two, 3 weeks. Right away, we start taking away from him because he obviously reveals his intention that it's to sell, which again then has the halacha like Yisrael. Now, if he holds back from giving it, whether it be after 2-3 weeks or when he opens up a butcher shop, then we excommunicate him until he gives these Kohanic gifts. Someone slaughters for a Gentile, for a Kohen, so part of Matanis, exempt from Matanis, because again, it doesn't depend on the one who's slaughtering, it depends on the animal, and since it's owned by a Kohen or of a guy, which are exempt, it's going to be exempt. Now, if I'm a Shtatif in my Kohen, if someone becomes partners with a Kohen, so Tzarch Shiyush Mechalka, he has to delineate, he has to mark off his portion, that should leave the Matanis, which should be part of the portion of the Kohen. Now, the reason is Shim Leitzin Chalke, because if he doesn't mark off his own portion, actually Chayib B'matanis, he actually would be obligated rabbinically to give the gift. Because not everyone knows that he has a partner Kohen, and people are going to say, hey, he's not giving the Kohen a gift. Now, Lafikach, there from Hoya Kohen, I mean, B'mat B'chaim, but if the Kohen was standing there with him in the butcher shop, he's doing the business dealings with him, then in the Tzarech Lichem, then he doesn't have to mark it off because everyone knows that he's a partner and that we're not suspecting this Yisrael. However, in contrast, if someone's partners with a Gentile, in a Tzarech Lichem, then he doesn't have to mark it off. Because generally a Gentile, he talks a lot to Medila, and he notices why someone, oh, I'm a partner, oh, Solomon's butcher shop, oh, I'm partners with him. Even if he's not with him when it's selling, everyone's going to know and no one's going to suspect that the Yisrael is not giving him a tonus and that he doesn't have to mark it off. Let's say the Kohen stipulated with the Yisrael that he's a partner with him, except for the gifts that he's not going to share with the Yisrael. So how are we have matanis the Kohen? So the matanis go to the Kohen. Because he said, except so the Kohen left over the portion of the Kohanic gift. In other words, he left it for himself. Therefore, it's his own. But in contrast, if let's say the Kohen says to the Yisrael, yeah, we're partners, but on the condition that the gifts go to me, that in that in mind, I'm selling you the animal. Actually, the gifts remain in the possession of the Yisrael who's buying it. And he can give it to whatever Chabu Kohen he wants to. Because even though the Kohen who's selling it stipulated that it should be his, that does not exempt from the giving the gifts. Because even though the Kohen stipulated that the sale is contingent on this, and if it's not going to happen, then actually the sale should be voided. No, because it's not nullified, because he was masna mashakas b'tayra. And the Torah gives permission for the kind for this person to give it whichever kind he wants to, and the stipulation is void. And the reason is Shalim Almanaska is whoever says on the condition, he has not left over a remnant in the gifts at all. So he didn't leave over any part of the partnership. He's not acquired with this stipulation, like we said, because it's contradiction to what the Torah says, and therefore the Yisrael can give it whoever kind he wants to. Let's say the Kohen was a partner only in the head. So then the Yisrael is exempt from giving one of those three, that of the jaw, because again, as long as the Kohen is a partner in that part, that's exempt. Let's say the partner only in the hand, then he's exempt from giving that one of those three, which is in the foreleg. Let's say he should have been the ma'im, let's say he's a partner in the intestines, then exempt from the maw, which is one of the stomachs. Let's say Kohen says to him, the animal is totally mine, but the head is yours. Then the Yisrael will have to give the kind of gift of the jaw. Because that which is obligated, which is the jaw, is owned by the Yisrael. If a ger converted, now he had a slaughtered animal. So if it was slaughtered before he converted, well then it's going to be exempt from the matanis, because when it was slaughtered, he was a Gentile, which is exempt from matanis. Now the machash in this guy, but if he slaughtered after he became a yid, well the chayv is going to be obligated. Vim Safek, and if it's, we don't know when that happened, Potter, he's exempt, because if I'm Mitzmech B'Labaraya, and whoever wants to collect from him would have to bring a proof when exactly it happened. Halacha Dad Ram discussed regarding stealing these gifts. Behemosh Lehuma Matnasau. If you have an animal that its gift, these three, of every regular chulin animal that's slaughtered, which was not separated to give to the kohen, mutal lechamenu, you're still allowed to eat from the animal. She'en the demel tevel, because you cannot compare it to untithed produce, which is forbidden as long as you didn't separate the gifts, because shari matnas kunim uvdom, because in contrast over there where it's not definitive, here the kind of gifts are distinct, they're separated. We know it's the jaw, it's the maw, it's those parts. So you could eat from all the rest of the animal even though you didn't give it yet. Now, vamatonis atzman, but the gifts themselves, those three parts of the animal, asli solachon, that's forbidden for Yisrael to eat, a non-kain, elibishos kain, rather, only if he has permission from the kain, because it's monetary, owned by the kain, he's allowed to give it to Yisrael. Now, let's say avavachon, let's say a person violates and he does eat these three, or he zikon, or he damages them, or he mocharon, or he sells them, in the chayim l'sham, doesn't have to compensate any kain. The reason is nishum mamachin l'tevei yadu, because it's monies that don't have a distinct claimant, because every single kain, they could say, I could give it to another kain, I don't have to give it to you. Now, whoever acquires this sale of these three chronic gifts, although he's not allowed to, as we said, he would be permitted to eat it, because the chronic gifts could be stolen, and you're kind of with kinyan gizela, and therefore it's already yours, and it's then you could eat it. Let's say it says to the butcher, a person comes to the butcher and says, I want the intestine, I want to make kishka, sell me the intestines of this cow. Now, in those kishkas, in those intestines, v'hayibah matanis was the kind of gift, which was that of the maw. So, noisnan, so the consumer has to give that kind of gifts, lakoin to the kain, and ve'inim nakaloi, and the butcher doesn't have to take off min hadamim from the sale price, because the consumer knew that the gifts are there, and what he's paying obviously was not for the keva, rather for the rest of the meat. But let's say lakocha min b'mishka, let's say he paid by weight, and the butcher had in there when he was weighing it also the keva, then nois l'kayin, so then again, the Yisrael, the consumer, has to give it to the kayin, but a menaka l'tabach menadam, he takes off from the price for the butcher, because he didn't know that the keva is in the intestines, and it comes out that the butcher was selling him something that's not really his, and therefore then he takes off from the sale price. Halach design. Hamashaleich basal l'chabir. Someone sends a piece of meat to his friend. V'hoibah matanis, and inside there is one of the parts that's supposed to be given to the kayin. So that recipient of the gift doesn't have to be concerned that maybe his friend violated and stole and therefore he's not allowed to accept this. Rather, he could presume that his friend probably bought it from a kohen. And doesn't have to be concerned that there's a problem with eating this. Now, mokum shema kohen, and similarly this idea about transferring the funds and you could end up eating the kind of gifts. If let's say it's a place that there's no kohen. So malam atanz b'damim va'ichlin. So you transfer the monetary value of those kind of gifts into monies va'ichlin. Then you eat the kind of gifts, and the reason is they have said kain, because it would be a loss of the kain, because he wouldn't get to it and it would spoil before he gets to it, and rather be eaten atam l'chol kain shiritz, and you give the monetary value to any kain that you want to. Halachit Zan Ram discusses regarding the way of dividing these matanis. Haritz alitan hamatanis l'kain echav. So wants to give these kind of gifts to one kain, like he can give it. V'masalach l'kain, and he wants to divide them. Don't give half of the maw, the stomach, to one person. Half of the foreleg. Give the foreleg to one. The stomach to one. You could give, however, the jaw to two, which it has two parts. And like I said in the pasuk, give it to him, meaning it should be enough that it should be a significant gift. So half is not significant. Now, but the maishal shor, but let's say it was from an ox, which is a large animal, then you could cut it up into pieces, as long as that each piece has enough to be considered as a significant gift. Now, Lachi Yilches Ram qualifies, izehu azraya. So what is the foreleg that you have to give? It's zraya shel yamin, it's the foreleg of the right side, min ha-perik shel akuva, from the upper joint, ad kaf shel yada, until the ankle, shin shnei avam, which there are two limbs, but zem u'bezet, one flows into the other one. And v'lchayayim, and regarding the jaw, is min haperik shalachi, it's from the joint of the jaw, v'ad pika shal gageris, up until the bulge of the gullet, in the throat, which is tabas gedoyla, is a large ring, im haloshen shebenem, with the tongue that's between them, meaning between the jaws, hakol lekoin, that all goes to the kohen. Halachi test. Now, im molgen oisin, you don't pour hot water over these parts, v'im hafshit oisin, you don't skin them, el yitno le ba'orin b'tzam, and you give it them, in there with their skin and with their wool. That's regarding obviously the outer parts. Now, vakeva, the maw, which is in the inside, there's obviously no skin and wool on that, but you give it b'chel v'shel lehel with the fats that are on it, b'chel v'shel b'teicha, the fats that are inside of it. But the custom of the Kanim already has been to leave the fats of the maw for the owners. Even a female kain could eat these gifts. And even if she's married to Yisrael, the reason Nishim Kedusha, there's no sanctity in these gifts, it's just a monetary gift, which a kahanas also could have that right. Now, not only that, her husband, who's Yisrael, actually is also therefore allowed to eat the gifts because of his wife, who is receiving it as she's allowed to. Now, avachalala, but if let's say this kohenes became desecrated because she had relations with a man that's forbidden to her, which actually removed her kedushas kahuna from her, and therefore she's like a regular non-kohenes, then ain't a chalala, she doesn't get to eat this. She ain't chalala machalala kanim, because chalala, not including the category of kanim. Now, but v'mrotz ha-koyin, limkra matanis. But let's say the koyin wants to sell the gifts, a litna ma-matana, or to give it as a gift. Afil a-goy, even to a Gentile, or l'chil n'klav, or to feed it to the dogs, mechil n'he can feed it, she'en b'em kedusha kol. Again, there's no sanctity here at all, but it's rights that only go to kahanim, which again, we said includes our kahanas too. Aloch ha-falav, koyin, shoy l'chaver. Let's say koyin had friends, shenais la-matanis, they would all give him their gifts. When they would slaughter animals, they would give it to him. Say, imrotz l'zak is koyin l'Yisrael chaver. Let's say that koyin who gets so many gifts, say he wants to merit his friend, who's a Yisrael, who doesn't have so much food and he wants to give it to him, harizim azakalei, he can merit him. And even if it didn't come to the hand of the kohen, he could just redirect it and go straight to his friend. And that's because he's makiri kohuna. He's like, these friends always give it to him. Now, so his friends, they could just slaughter, and they could give the gift straight to that other friend who's Yisrael. Now, v'hu, but this is only Yisrael zebedeichik. It's only if that Yisrael is in a pressed situation, vein liknas bas, and he doesn't have what to buy meat with. But yeah, koin shazocha lechaver, and so that koin will merit for his friend. Now, avam hoya koin shamosha shal Yisrael zeb. But let's say the koin is like the attendant of that non-koin, that Yisrael. Is schiroi, or his hard worker, or lekitoi, or his employee. Then einam azakaloi atche yavoi liyada. Then he shouldn't merit it to that Yisrael until it actually physically comes to the hand of the koin. Because maybe then the guy's going to be forcing him to give it to him. So therefore we require at least let it go to the koin first. Halacha Beis Ram concludes regarding that the matanas have to be done in an honorable way. Layachtva koin matanas. The kohen should not grab the gifts. He shouldn't solicit it, asking it for it with his mouth. So only if they give it to him in a dignified way, then likely he should take it. When there's many kohen there at the butcher house waiting for their gifts, the discreet kohenim, they pull back their hands. Like a grunim noitlim. Those who are gluttons, they take. Now, if there was a modest, discreet kohen, no recognize that he's a kohen, then he should take, that everyone should know that he's a kohen. And also the kohen, they do not eat their kohana gifts, only roasted with mustard. So like says the pasuk l'mashcha, the kohana gifts are giving as anointing, meaning, which is a term of nobility, the way kings eat, which is roasted with mustard, that's how the kohen should eat, his roya, chayim, and the keva.